Welcome, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Star of the Beast Network's Morning Edition. Star of the Beast Network is your streaming internet radio and libertarian voice, broadcasting from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you by Ranch Acres Audiology in Tulsa. Call 918-749-7711 for all your hearing needs. Today, this morning, is Thursday, October 19, 2006. It is about 6:31 Central Time. This is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you do more than relax and listen. You are required to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, you will find that libertarian principles of individual freedom are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. Folks, we must starve the beast now before the beast in bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal governments starves you and me of our money, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding political structures. We need to be revolutionaries in thought. Only after we recognize what governments are doing to our freedom will we start taking it back. This program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone, and good morning to our morning edition of Star of the Beast Network. First, I'd like to ask everyone if you have any questions or comments, please email them to liberty@starvethebeast.net. That's liberty@starvethebeast.net. If you are so inclined to send me some email and want to be responded to on the air this morning, you can send it via AOL Instant Messenger, and that would be STB, that's for Star of the Beast, STB Internet Radio at AIM.com. Or, even better, call me via Skype. It's SKYPE Radio. You can get that online by just downloading it. Very, very easy to do. It's a free call anywhere from the United States. And when you dial in, just dial Star of the Beast, one word, Star of the Beast, and it'll ring on the air and we'll get back to you. Okay. In fact, while we're on the air, if you do miss this broadcast, it will be repeated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Otherwise, please email your comments to me at liberty@starvethebeast.net. Now, I have to make mention that this program is not endorsed nor affiliated with the Libertarian Party, but I like to always start off with the philosophy of the Libertarian Party, because it sort of sums up the philosophy of libertarian very succinctly. Now, let me just take a second to read it. Libertarians hold that all individuals, when I say all individuals, I'm speaking worldwide. This is not proprietary to the United States. Understand that. All individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives and have the right to live in whatever manner they choose, so long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal rights of others to live in whatever manner they choose. Now, just, I mean, if you really think about those comments, those are very, very powerful words. It says an awful lot, and it does answer a heck of a lot of questions. In addition, libertarians do not believe in nor advocate the initiation of force as a means of achieving political social goals. Could you imagine if every person, forget the countries, every person within every country decided not to violate that rule, to abide by that? Trade would be phenomenal. Our standard of living around the world would increase exponentially, and the problems now facing in Africa, Darfur, for example, would not even exist. And it is very doable. That's the surprising part. It's very doable, and it's not difficult. It doesn't require a government program. In fact, it requires the lack of a government program. And all governments have one and only one function, and that's to protect the property, the liberty, rights, and freedom of the individual. Man, I buy that, you know. And if you do disagree with that, please send me email, and we'll address it on the air, and we'll do it very, very respectively. Today, I'd like to talk about a subject that just grabs me the wrong way, and that is the immigration issue. I am not certain, folks, whether or not the immigration issue, as we have defined it here in the United States, is not really a solution looking for a problem. Now, that may seem to be contrary to everything that you've heard so far. In fact, it may even seem kind of silly and naive. It sounds naive to me in a sense, but it's not. Let us sit back and let us try to think, right? Let us try to think. I have a quip that is for you that is somewhat indirectly associated, all right, with immigration. Immigration is a fear of people coming to our country that we don't necessarily want or like, or don't know whether we want or like. And we want this whole process where we could purify everything coming in. Everyone is sanitized before they come in, so they are what we expect them to be. You think about it, that's exactly what we're doing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, let's talk about another issue and see how this relates. We want to make sure that no one invades our country, you know, especially those people coming over the border from Mexico. You know, we want to build this wall and do all these things to restrict these people from coming in. Right. Now, here's my quip. There are 192 countries in the world. Now, there may be 193, I think, if you include the Vatican, and I think the 192 may include Taiwan, I'm not sure. So somewhere between 192 and 193, possibly 194, depending on your definition of who you recognize as a sovereign state, right? Now, of the 100, and let's say 193, we'll round it off, 193 countries in the world, the United States has military bases in at least 50 of them. Now, I say at least because those are the ones which are recorded. Now, that includes bases in countries which were the former Soviet Union. Think about that just for a moment. We are concerned that Mexicans are coming across our border who are, for the most part, illiterate, have no papers, cannot read or write, and want to make our country a little bit more prosperous by doing jobs that nobody else wants to do. And they'll do it for a low price, do it well, so we can go to the stores and enjoy the fruits of their labor. We don't want those people. But yet, we can go in over a quarter of the countries in the world. And I say at least 50 because we have bases in places where the government would never admit that we have bases. And if it would not surprise me if we have bases in about 60 of the places, about one-third of the countries around the world. Now, when you have a base, a military base in another country, that's not a very welcomed group of people. Maybe by the government because they're getting something. They've sold their soul to the devil. But as far as the people are concerned, they're not too happy about it. And I'm talking about the people, not the governments. To hell with all the governments. I'm talking about the people. And yet, we should expect, Americans should expect the world to tolerate our occupation in one quarter or one between one quarter and one third of the nations around the world, militarily. But I'll be damned if those Mexicans are going to get across the border and pick lettuce for me. Now, I have such a problem with that. I cannot even get past that. When I hear all of our politicians talking about legislation restricting immigration, and then I think of this statistic, this quip that I just gave you, I think we've gone stark raving mad. Either they've gone stark raving mad, or I am going stark raving mad, and quite frankly at this point, I think they're winning because they're driving me nuts. And what's the problem with that is when you hear these radio talk shows, and I include every single one of them, ladies and gentlemen, everyone, and you listen to them and are not required to think, they sound like they make all the sense in the world. We can't have all these people here. They're here illegal. They're illegal and they should suffer the consequences. We can hang them. You know, basically that's what they're saying. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, and hopefully we can do it within the 30 minutes. I thought I didn't think we had a subject long enough for 30 minutes, but I think we're going to fill up the whole 30 minutes. So please stay with me on this. Here's a few basic problems with I call the immigration issue, because it's not a problem as far as I'm concerned. And I want to give you an analogy. It has nothing to do with immigration, but just bear with me. In some small town in middle America, there is a large factory, and they make, let's say, TV sets. And they employ 375 people. Very big factory. That factory closes up and moves its production to China or any other country where they can produce it, you know, still the same quality, but at a much lower price. When that factory closes up, do we hear about it on TV? Well, of course we do. You know, small town, and they always have this little, you know, very, very sweet lady, and she says, I've been working here, or this guy who has a family with three or four children, and this it's always the same story. You know, I've been working here, you know, for 13 years. My father worked in this factory, and he retired here. He worked here 42 years, and now they're closing it down. You know, we have no more pension, and they go on and on. And they are absolutely correct. It's a travesty for them. It's a tragedy for them. If I had a job in a small town that paid a decent wage with decent benefits, and it was a major corporation, and in my mind, I thought that this company was going to be here for the rest of eternity, you know, and one day they said, sorry, guys, you know, effective in 30 days, we're closing down. You're out of a job. And I know in this small job, there are no jobs available. Now, 375 people in this relatively small town have to look for jobs. They're all going to be competing for the one or two jobs that may be available. I'm unemployed. And if I was smart, I would move and move quick. So, we hear about this on TV, right? And it's a shock to the system. And what do you hear? We've got to do something about losing jobs to foreign entities like China, Mexico, Taiwan, Malaysia, Indonesia, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, let's think about that for a second. I'm sorry, this may hurt the brain, but let's think about it for a second. The TVs that they were making, I was paying, let's say, $495 for the TV. Now that it's in China, I'm paying $249 for the TV. Same TV. Now, if it was junk TV, I'd say let's assume the same TV. And it is. The TVs we get from China are just fine. Or Japan or wherever. Taiwan. Now, everyone in the United States was paying $495 for a TV. Now they're paying $249 for a TV. So everyone has $250 more in their pocket. Was that a net loss for us or a net gain? Well, because we laser look at things, we laser look at this one town, and we have empathy for them. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying good for them. I'm just saying that is a real problem. It's a real problem for 375 people. But the rest of society, the remainder of society, gains by that loss. So we never look at both sides of the equation. We don't say, well, you know, as a result, now I can go to the supermarket, whether it be a Walmart or Target or whatever, and I can buy quality goods for low prices. In fact, I have more purchasing power in the United States than anybody else in the world. We don't look at that. We just say, look at the poor people who lost their jobs. And that's true, because we focus on that, and then we become legislators. We have to legislate ourselves out of this problem. Well, there, ladies and gentlemen, is a solution looking for a problem. If someone else can produce the TVs at a low price with the same quality, that's where it should be made. And I think we should all recognize everything that we do around the world. I don't care which country you're in, right? That you've got to be the best in what you do to be competitive worldwide, or else you're not going to have a job. If you don't think that way, you're walking in the dark. Well, here's the analogy. Why am I talking about TV sets and immigration? Immigration is the same problem. When we hear about the immigration problem, we hear about people or some towns close to the border, you know, who are experiencing higher than normal arrest rates, crime, illegal drivers, you know, all the things that occur in the streets that we don't want to happen in our neighborhood. And we laser look at these towns and we say, something must be done about it. Yes, something must be done about that. But when we look at these towns and we look about the number of arrests, illegal driving, the accidents that occur that no one gets paid for, you know, unlicensed and uninsured drivers, et cetera, goes on and on and on and on, you know. And maybe some of them aren't very, very nice people like everybody else. Believe it or not, there are some not very nice people here in the United States whose families have been here for generations, and they're not nice people. You know what? I know some of them. So let's not get on anybody else's back about whether that they're better than we are or they're not as good as we are. Right? But we laser look at that one town. We say, we have to do something about it. Well, let's look at the rest of the story. And the rest of the situation is that because these people are coming over, they are performing on jobs, and they perform well on jobs that we wouldn't think of doing. And as a result, when we go to the store, just like we bought the TV set for $249 rather than $499, we go to the store, instead of a head of lettuce being $3, you know, it's 79 cents or whatever it is these days. Or the spinach, or the corn. Or how about meatpacking? Now, my company that I'm retired from does industrial health testing. In other words, we go to factories and do tests on people that are required by law. People hearing testing, respiratory testing, people have to wear respirators and drug testing, all that stuff, you know. By the way, don't think of going to business. It's a lousy business to go into. It's really tough. It really is the toughest business in the world. Anyway, we do work in places that process chickens, or we did at one time. We don't do them now, thank goodness. And I would have to pay my employees almost double, in fact, more than double, to do those jobs because it was so filthy. No one would go. I'd say, who wants to make an extra $1,000 in the next couple of days? Yeah, they raise their hand. Oh, go, you know. And they'll go, and they would suffer. They would suffer through the testing, you know, because they were going to make enough money, they were going to have a darn good time. And basically, I made very little money on those accounts because I had to pay it all out in employee wages. And I didn't mind doing it. I didn't do it. You know, I figured I kept them busy, kept the company going. I was a happy camper. I was particularly happy that I didn't have to go do it. Now, who do you think was working at those chicken processing plants? Was it was the person's name Warren? Glenn Worthington? John Mike DiMato? Kelly? Names like that? No. Would you be surprised to know that the names of the people there were Jose, Miguel, Rodriguez, they were Spanish. They were people, and primarily they were people who came from Mexico, primarily, not all of them. Now, did they take jobs away from Americans? Hell no. When you go to the store and you buy chicken, and chicken is dirt cheap, ladies and gentlemen, dirt cheap, compared to our disposable income, it costs us nothing to eat in the United States. In most places, it's a good portion of their take-home pay. And we do that because these people, one, risk their lives, risk going back, actually pay money to come here, right, and take jobs that we don't want, and you know what? They are a problem. Well, shoot me in the foot. If that's our problem, we have a solution looking for a problem. I'd say thank heavens that these guys are here, and women. Now, I used to go out there and I used to go testing in those factories when I was younger. And let me be honest with you, they were very, very nice. I always enjoyed. I learned a little Spanish. I used to give them instructions on how to do the test in Spanish. And they were so ecstatic that I tried, that I tried to do that. And I still remember the words, you know, escuche, it means listen, you know. And they used to laugh at me, and they used to say, you know, muy bien, you know. They said, very good, you know. And I got along famously with all of them, and I really got to like them. And they had, as lousy as their jobs were, and I'm saying lousy, you would not do this job. If you had to do it for one day at point of gun, you tell them, shoot me. These people do it for years. Is there turnover? Do they leave a lot? Yeah. Are there problems on the job because they don't understand it, that they don't have maybe the same work ethic that maybe, you know, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant has, the Puritans have? Yeah, sometimes. Like any place else. But I can tell you this, if the people working there, they complain about, oh, we have high turnover, we have Mexicans here. Yeah, but if those people were white people, you know, people from the local town, so to speak, you know, us, they were us doing those jobs, their turnover wouldn't be once every month or once every 2 months. It'd be once every hour. So who's kidding who? All right, so what do we have? We have people risking their lives, coming here, doing a job, so we can live better. And with it, there are some problems. No kidding. I'm sorry to hear that. And Washington, D.C., wake up. The reason why they cannot solve the problem is there is no problem. What difference does it make if they have papers or not? Because they're over quota? So what, they're over quota? Why do I care? If I go to the store and I buy a head of lettuce and the guy says, sorry, that's $4. I say, why $4? It's, we're over quota. I wouldn't buy the lettuce. It would rot there. You think I care? Now we say, hey, Joe, you're really missing the big one here. You know, these, you know, because people are coming over, terrorists can be coming over. Yeah, terrorists can be coming over anyway. Now, if you're a terrorist, you're not, I mean, doing this by yourself, illiterate, leaving your family. And by the way, the reason why a lot of people come in here illegally is because they have no papers, they can't write, they don't know when they were born, they can't register themselves. And we're talking about people who are basic. I mean, we are talking basic beyond our comprehension of basic. So they come here. And with it, we do inherit problems. And I'm not dismissing the problems. I'm not dismissing the problems of immigration, of people coming over here and causing problems. It's going to happen. But we cause problems too. Let's not forget, in one quarter or one third of the countries, we have military bases. We cause problems. At least this problem we benefit by. The people, understand, the people benefit by this invasion. Our invasion of other countries, the governments may benefit, but the people lose. I want to be in Auschwitz. I want to be here. I don't want to be there. I want to be here. Now they say, well, we should build a fence. And I think the border with Mexico, and please, someone send me email. I think it's about 700 miles long. I read somewhere 2,000-mile fence, and I don't know where I got that from, but I don't think that's true. I think it's 700. Now, could we wake up for one moment, please? Who the heck is going to build a 700-mile, by the way, double fence, not single, double fence? Who? All these hard-working white Anglo-Saxon Protestants? Hell no. It's going to be, guess what? You got it, the Mexicans. They're going to be building the very fence that's going to prevent them from coming in. And they would probably do it. But you know what? They'd find a way. The Berlin Wall didn't hold back people, and there were armed guards there 24 hours a day. And if you even came near the wall, you got shot. The Great Wall of China didn't keep back the hordes trying to get in, the Huns or whoever they were. You know, not the Huns. I forgot the warlords against the dynasty at the time. And I'm sorry, I forgot my history there for a second. And yet, the Great Wall of China didn't work. If the Great Wall of China didn't work, why would our wall work? First of all, who's going to put the money up for this? Who's going to build it? You know, how is it going to be done all the way across? How long will it take to build a government project? It will take decades. I mean, by that time, Mexico will be our 51st state and we'll have to take the wall down and we'll say, who the heck did that stupid thing? And I really wish all these popular talk radio hosts, and I mean all of them, would shut up about the immigration issue. Because what they are doing, they are flaming the emotional flames of our hatred for other people. And they have no right to do that. They keep on saying, what a problem, and we've got to do something about it. You know, I often say this, and you've probably, if you've listened to this radio station, you've heard this before. We have found the enemy, and it's us. In this case, the enemy is us. Now, do I want illegal people here? Absolutely not. But if we need them, we should accommodate them and not persecute them. If we know they're coming across places in the middle of the desert, build a stupid shack. You can buy one for $500. Put it there. Put someone there. Have the people come in. Fingerprint them. Take their picture. Get their name as well as they know it. Get them to sign an X. You know, tell them what they've got to do. Have an interpreter there. You know, have them come through. The people will enjoy that. They would relish that for the first time. They have an identity. And we give it to them. And in Mexico, they have none. I've often said if we had to invade any country, and I do not believe that we should invade any country, we should not have invaded Iraq, we should have invaded Mexico. I mean, that's a horrible government. And we tolerate it. We act as if they're our friends, they're a democracy. Crap, that's one of the worst governments in the world. People are suppressed there, have for centuries and centuries. And yet, you know, we just, you know, go along and we worry about other countries 4,000 miles away. And countries on our border, sharing our border. And by the way, I have another question for you. Which is the largest border between two countries in the world? The largest border. Now, I thought it was between Mongolia and China. That's what I thought. That was my answer. I'll be honest with you. I was way wrong. I looked at the map and went, whoop, sorry, it's not that big. It's the border between the United States and Canada. And there ain't no fence there. If you're worried about terrorists, they wouldn't come through Mexico. Hey, they can land anywhere in Canada. No one would know that. It's too damn cold. There's no one there, right? They would just drive down and come across the border, come through, you know, any one of our northern states. There's nothing there. There may be a barbed wire fence. In some places, there's little signs that you're entering the United States, but in the middle of nowhere, there's no sign. They come across. That's it. If I was a terrorist, that's what I would do. And you think they don't know that? They know that. And we are trying to build a 700-mile, multi-billion-dollar fence that could never be finished, you know, with Mexico. You know, that's like building a barn with three sides. And the door of the barn, of course, there's no back at all, but the door of the barn is made of stainless steel, has all sorts of locks in it, and has absolutely no back on it. That is just stupid. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to me rant. And I did so for 29 minutes and 15 seconds. This is the conclusion of this morning's broadcast. On Sunday evening, we will have Mr. John Fanning and Mr. Joe Piccarelli from the 9/11 Truth Movement. And both of them will be here, and they will be discussing the 9/11 Truth Movement. Don't know too much about it. They are apparently making some headway on that. They want the government to come up with some answers to questions, which they're having difficulty getting. And they want to inform us about what that movement is, what it entails, exactly what they're doing. I think it should be an interesting broadcast. I believe it will be an hour broadcast because it'll be a very, very large subject spanning many items, and we're going to take that one as it comes. I'm going to leave an hour open. If it's a half hour, fine. If it's an hour, we're going to allow them 1 hour. So please tune in on Sunday evening. That would be live, and we'd like to see you call in live on Sunday evening starting 8:30, 9:30, that's Central Time, United States Central Time, this coming Sunday. All right. And I think with that, and I didn't think I was going to cover the amount of time that I had. All right, and here is our song, our theme song, And I Wonder. And this is the end of this morning's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their support, and I'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And don't forget to send in your comments, your criticisms, and your questions to liberty@starvethebeast.net. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.